And as Kylie's already said this morning, we're launching a bit of a new series, 3-week series called Together Again. And this series is a series, an opportunity for us to relaunch small groups or life groups, as we call them here at Parramatta Salvos. Now, if you have been here for a long time, you will know that just over 2 years ago, we relaunched life groups again. And it's something that we like to keep coming back to because we know that they don't always continue on. See, if we look at some of the life groups that were formed, we had some pre-established life groups. Ladies Bible Study with Janet, and there was Jen and Ian's group with Marg Paw that had been meeting for many, many years, and they continue to meet and gather together. Then we put out a survey, we connected some different people to groups, and there were some successful groups formed out of that. I think there's a few people in this room that's part of N. Lingard's life group that was formed out of that, and they are continuing to meet faithfully every fortnight and connecting together. However, for some of the groups, like mine, this is true confession time here, we did really well for about 12 months. We met fortnightly, we caught up regularly, and then Christmas hit 1 year and we never got back together. Did that happen to anyone else's group? Kind of fell off the bandwagon a little bit? Well, that's okay because we're going to reset, and hopefully you'll take the opportunity over the next few weeks to reconnect, to fill out the survey that Kylie mentioned that's in Parramatta's, and hopefully reconnect with a small group, because we know that big churches are often built on small groups. But actually, so many of these principles about life groups, about Bible study groups that we are going to share over the next couple of weeks are applicable to us just as Christians, as people that are part of the wider church, because it is so important that we have a place to belong, to grow together, to serve together, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about what it really means for us to belong and why Paul says that that is important. Important, both important for the early church, but still important for us today. And we know amongst especially young adults and young people, people are having a really difficult time belonging in our society. People are more disconnected than ever because of social media, screens, things that get in the way of us having true and meaningful connection with one another. And this problem exists in the walls of our church as well. But I want to start off today by defining belonging. What does it mean for us to say or to talk about this word belonging? Well, simply, belonging is a feeling of being happy or comfortable as part of a particular group and having good relationships with other members of the group because they welcome you and accept you. Interestingly, belonging is not about being all the same. It's not about being amongst people that are all the same as you. But yet still, each one of us, we all want a place to belong, don't we? We want a place where we can be authentically ourselves, a place where we might feel at home. And this week, I was reading a publication, a Christian publication that I read often. It's called Relevant Magazine and shares different articles about things that are going on in the lives of Christians. And I read an article about a young adult who was struggling with this concept of belonging, of finding a church, a place that was really for her. And she writes this article and she says, "For 2 years, I looked for a church where I could be my authentic self. The problem was that no community felt particularly authentic. The one that had worship that I liked had theology that crushed me. The one that had preaching that put me to sleep had people who welcomed me. It's easy to think that when we're looking for a church or any other meaningful human relationship, that we're never going to fully belong. And we'd be right. None of us is going to feel fully at home this side of life when there's still a disconnect between reality as it is and reality as God promised." And she goes on to say, "But when we worship together as God's people, we become co-creators of a new reality in which we are one as God is one. It's within the context of community that we learn to live like we belong, even when we don't feel like it. See, no church community is perfect. No church community is going to be a place where we feel exactly like it's the perfect fit. And this is an interesting perspective from the church, for the church to look at, because this young girl says, actually, we are part of creating a new reality in the church. Together with God, we are co-creators of this place of belonging. And it doesn't always just happen. It takes intentionality, it takes showing up, it takes investment, engagement, until we feel truly at home with one another. And if we look at the context of our scripture today that has been read for us from Ephesians, we come to this point. The first century church, there is this clear divide between Jew and Gentile. Paul identifies these people who have not been circumcised, who feel as though they are outside. They're not in on everything like the Jewish Christians were. There doesn't seem to be any particular controversy, anything really terrible going on, but there is this sort of sense that maybe the Gentiles were the second-class citizens, that they weren't worthy of being part of the kingdom of God, that they maybe didn't belong. And so we read in Ephesians 2, 11 to 13, Paul says, "But don't take any of this for granted. It was only yesterday that you were outsiders to God's ways and had no idea of any of this, didn't know the first thing about the way God works, hadn't the faintest idea of Christ. You knew nothing of the rich history of God's covenants and promises in Israel, hadn't a clue about what God was doing at the world at large. But now, because of Christ, dying that death, shedding that blood, you who were once out of it altogether are in on everything." He says you've got a new identity now in Christ. For anyone that felt as though they didn't belong, they didn't have a right to be here, he says you are welcome in the kingdom of God. But this new humanity, it doesn't mean that we are all the same. It doesn't mean that we have to come together and be all the same. Actually, this new humanity, this kingdom that we are called to be a part of, is accessible to everyone. Those who were outsiders, he said, are bought in on everything. But sometimes we can struggle in our churches and struggle to feel as though they are places that maybe we belong in. Sometimes belonging and community can be a struggle for other people as they come into our church environments. Belonging and community, like our definition earlier suggested, aren't just about unity through being the same. Often that actually excludes the stranger or the outsider. Instead, community and belonging is about openness. It's about welcoming those who might not feel included, those who are different, and celebrating the differences. I think one of the groups in our community outside the church, one of the ones that does this maybe the very best at the moment, is this group. Maybe you recognise this logo. Has anyone ever seen this logo before? If you were here earlier, you can't say. Anyone seen it? Yes, yeah. This is the logo for Parkrun in Australia. That's why it's got a little tree. Parkrun in Australia. And Parkrun is a free community event. If you've never heard of it, it is an event where you can walk, run, jog, volunteer, or spectate. It's a 5-kilometre timed event, and it takes place every Saturday morning in 492 locations across Australia. Quite incredible. Just around here, there's one at Parramatta, one at Rhodes. I was there over the weekend. Average is about 600 people that come together and run. And these are duplicated all over the country. It is a positive, welcoming and inclusive environment. There's no time limit and no one finishes last. And everyone is welcome to come along. How does no one finish last? Because there's tail walkers who are the people nominated to finish last. But I think that this is very interesting. I've run 51 park runs now in the last year and a bit. And Clayton, who was here this morning, he's run 290-something, which is quite incredible. But there are these events that people keep coming back to and they keep growing in number. And what I find interesting about a park run is that people come together united because of a common interest, which is running. But it's interesting, though, that everyone is at different stages and all of these stages are celebrated. So whether you have done 50 park runs or 500 park runs, some people run fast, some people like me run an exceptionally average 5K, some people walk, some people spectate. Some are there to improve their time, some are just there for a casual run with their friends. Some people run, park run, and run who come each and every week would run upwards of 50 kilometres a week. Some people just come once a month for a bit of fun. And yet, there is a place for everyone. Everyone is valued, everyone is celebrated, everyone belongs. Even if you don't run, you still belong there. You can volunteer and belong to this community. And I think that's interesting because I think sometimes as the church, we have a hard time accepting that we may be united in that we follow Jesus, we believe in Jesus as our Saviour, but that we're often at different stages in our relationship with Him. Sometimes our level of commitment's not the same as someone else's. Our experience of Jesus is not the same as someone else's, and yet we celebrate that. Because there is a place for everyone in the kingdom of God. No matter where you're at on your faith journey, no matter your background, no matter your race, your gender, your economic position, your sexuality, your age, the things that you may have done in your life, belonging doesn't mean that we are all the same. And it certainly doesn't mean that we all need to become the same, but we have to live in community with one another, different people coming together under a common thing that we share, to celebrate difference and to connect on this common ground. And interestingly, Paul says that Jesus came to put an end to anything that might divide us. He says, the Messiah has made things up between us so that we're now together on this, both non-Jewish outsiders and Jewish insiders. He tore down the wall we used to keep each other at a distance. He replaced the law code that had been so clogged with fine print and footnotes that it hindered more than it helped. He started over. Instead of continuing with two groups of people separated by centuries of animosity and suspicion, he created a new kind of human being, a fresh start for everybody. In another paraphrase, he said he made both Jews and Gentiles into one group. With his body, he broke down the barrier of hatred that divided us. See, Christ didn't come to make us all the same. He came to bring together different people, back then Jews and Gentiles, but in this room and in our community, people from all different backgrounds, and he came to bring us together and to remove the walls that divide us, to tear down the things that get in the way of us connecting with one another. He brought an end to the separation so that we could all come and live in community with one another, so that we all had a place to belong. And he doesn't do this in a way to make us come and to be all the same. He does it in a way to eliminate hostility, eliminate things that divide us. And it says he started over, a fresh start. And we get to do that as part of a church community, to be part of this new community where there is no divide, there is no separation between us. It's a great way, I think, for us as people of God to look at the church, to look at the ways that we might connect with one another. In verse 16, it says, Christ brought us together through his death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace, and that was the end of hostility. Christ came and preached peace to you outsiders and peace to us insiders. He treated us as equals and so made us equals. Through him, we both share the same spirit and have equal access to the Father. See, God's design for his people, his plan through Jesus' death on the cross, is that we might belong with each other, that he might remove this divide that exists between some of us, and that we would go so far as embracing one another. And I don't know about you, but I'm not that much of a hugger, so I don't love the idea always of embracing people. But this is what the scripture says. This is what Christ came to do. Different people able to embrace one another because we both follow Jesus. We both know Jesus. No matter where we've come from, no matter what we've done, actually we can come together in this new humanity, this new community. In verse 19, he goes on to say, that's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. You know, those same words that Paul spoke to the church in Ephesus, to these people who were lost, who were a little bit insecure about who they were, those same words ring true to us today, in this physical building here, but also in the wider church. You belong here. You, I, others, we all belong here. We can all find our place. So how do we do that? How do we step into this new humanity? Well, Paul goes on to say, with each one of us who were strangers, outsiders, who now belong, he says, God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here in what he is building. He's using the apostles, the prophets for the foundation, and now he is using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all of the parts together. He's building each one of us in brick by brick, stone by stone. And what did that first part say? Irrespective of how we got here. It does not matter how you ended up here in this place. He is using each one of us. And he uses this metaphor of the house or the home. It comes from the root word in the Greek oikos, which simply means a household. Related by blood, kindred. For the Ephesians, the people of that day, they would have known what that means, a household where they were protected, secure, where they could be themselves, where they felt at home. And he repeats this word or variations of this word 6 times in this passage to get his message across, that actually we are each called to build the house of God, to build the temple of God together, brick by brick. We see it taking shape day after day, Paul says, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. And I don't know about you, but that's the kind of place that I want to be a part of. Whether that's our wider church community, whether that's our small groups that meet together, brick by brick, stone by stone, each one of us coming together and building a place where God is at home because his people live in community with each other and with him. So this morning, I just want to ask you a couple of questions, a few things to consider as we look at this concept of belonging and what it means for us. And the first question is this: do I feel like I belong here? For those of you who come to Parramatta Salvos all the time, you can ask this question about being here, about being in your small groups. For those of you who are at other places, in your faith community, do you feel as though you belong? And then the next question to ask ourselves is, how can I be proactive in developing a greater sense of community and belonging? Because we know that belonging doesn't always just happen. We have to take proactive steps to engage, to invest, to connect with other people often before we feel as though we truly belong. And then the third thing that I want to ask you today is, do I have room to help someone else to belong? Because we want God's kingdom to grow, don't we? We want more and more people to come and to know Him, to feel safe and secure in the home, in the temple that we are building. And in order to do that, we have to have room. We have to have room to help someone else to belong. Brought some Lego with me today. Anyone like playing with Lego? Anyone used to like playing with Lego? Yeah, a few. Bought some Lego with me today because often when we think about belonging, about fitting together, I've sometimes heard the illustration used of a puzzle, but I don't really love that illustration because with a puzzle, there's sort of one area on the puzzle that the piece connects. There's one spot for it to go for the puzzle to be right. But with Lego bricks, actually, it doesn't matter really what the shape of the brick is. You'll know if you've built Lego before, you often buy it in a set and you can build something according to the instructions. Or you can just buy a bunch of generic Lego bricks like I did and you can make anything you want out of it, brick by brick. And I think this is a little bit more like what we are like in the church, Lego bricks fitting together. But you know, they also have these little bumps on them. Does anyone know what the bumps on Lego bricks are called? They came to the first service. It's okay, they knew the answer then too. These little bricks on Lego are called studs. And actually, when you put Lego together, you connect them. That's how you build with Lego, right? But ultimately for us, if we imagine ourselves as a Lego brick and we're building into the kingdom of God, we actually need to leave a few of these studs free. If all of our studs are taken by our connection with other people, our small group, our friends, the ministries that we serve in, we often don't have any more room on our Lego brick to include someone else, to connect with someone else. So I think these Lego bricks serve as a good reminder of that, that actually we've got to leave a few of these little studs free. Got to leave room to connect with new people, to show and invite new people, to help other people to belong. And so this morning, as we wrap up, Gabe's going to play a beautiful song and I'm going to invite you to reflect on the words, to sing them this morning. But I'm also going to invite you to come forward and to grab one of these Lego bricks, to take it to your desk or your bedside table, the place where maybe you do your quiet time. And I want you to take one as just a physical reminder of a couple of things today. Firstly, take one of these bricks, an individual brick, as a reminder that as the community of believers, we're not building walls. That Jesus came to tear down the walls of hostility that might divide us, might keep us apart, that might keep people on the outside instead of being included in on what He has to offer. Instead, we're using these bricks to build a holy temple. Each one of us, one of these pieces, doesn't matter the colour, the shape, the size, brick by brick, He's building us into a holy temple, a temple where God is quiet at home. We can all be part of what God is building. We can all be part of building a place where people can belong and connect and grow with Him. And secondly, may it serve as a reminder to always keep one of these studs free so that you might invite others to belong, so that you've got room to connect someone else, and so that our church can continue to grow, God's kingdom can continue to grow as we share life, as we help others to belong as well.